I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John Cobell Podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
Mark Thompson here sitting in. As I also mentioned, we haven't in a while vacation with John Cobell, my big vacation buddy. Went to Morocco together. A lot of fun.
Anywhere else?
I'm trying to think. We've done a lot of stuff with the Cobells. I don't think we've taken any other extended trips. They keep wanting to get us up to that place they've got up in the mountains. You know, they've got this compound up there in the mountains, and I'm worried that there's some kind of, I don't know, is this some sort of Scientology thing? What's going on? They keep playing, you know, come on up. It's
well,
great.
John does have that end of earth bunker at his home, so the cabin might not be a bad backup for him.
Yeah, good point. But his end of earth bunker is probably better than the home I live in. So they live well. But we're overdue. We actually had talked about a couple of other trips. So it may be that this year we do another extended journey. That was a couple of weeks we were in Morocco together. But in fact, we went to the very place that was the epicenter for that recent earthquake there, the Atlas Mountains. All of us were there in that place. It's a very sort of rural, they're mountain people, you know. They're mountain people who have seen tourists. There were a couple of places that seemed pretty mobbed up with the tourist industry, but it was essentially, you know, a pretty desolate area, you know. Anyway, so John back next week. There are things that will change in the new year. Two new laws in California affect you who have perhaps had to submit hair or urine for marijuana tests, drug tests. Starting in the new year, employers in California will be barred from asking workers about their use of cannabis outside of work. They will not be able to discriminate against potential workers because of it. Two bills signed by Gavin Newsom in the past couple of years will strengthen the state's legal cannabis industry and update outdated laws. Employers will be prohibited from using the results of hair or urine tests for marijuana in their decisions to hire, fire, or even penalize workers. The press release from the governor's office says that rigid bureaucracy and federal prohibition continue to pose challenges to the industry and consumers, but these new laws will prevent employers from asking job applicants about their prior use of cannabis. So there is that. By the way, there are exceptions. Before you get too excited, all my potheads out there, or just, you know, look, recreational use, I don't mean to, nothing wrong with it. The exceptions will be in the area of construction, I believe. And then what's the other, there's another area that's accepted. It's construction. Richie, what is the other one? The construction's one I remember.
The what?
Well, did I wake Richie? I'm sorry. Richie is, Richie. I wish I could just have that as a drop. The what? The California new laws on cannabis, there are two, you know, they can't ask you if you're a potential employee or an existing employee. They can't ask you for a hair or urine test now and make a decision based on the result. So there is an exception. I believe one is construction. And what's the other one? Is it healthcare or something like that? That's what I was asking. There's an exception. There are two areas of exception. One is construction and one is, I think it's healthcare industry.
I would guess healthcare and government. Okay.
You don't have to guess. It's in the piece somewhere. I read it a while ago, though, so I don't recall. Anyway, thank you. Here's a good one. I could be sitting on a cache of money, a fortune. Starting in 2024, Californians can redeem empty wine and liquor containers for cash. It starts next week. Hang on to your empty wine and liquor containers. The beverage container recycling program that is going to be underway beginning Monday includes beverage containers that are boxes, bladders, or pouches containing wine, distilled spirits, wine coolers, or distilled spirit coolers, and wine and liquor, large juice containers, also redeemable. Everything I just mentioned, redeemable starting January 1st. How much can you get? 5 cents for containers smaller than 24 ounces. That's glass, aluminum, plastic, bimetal containers, you know, wine and liquor bottles now included, right? 10 cents for containers that are 24 ounces or larger. That's glass, aluminum, plastic, bimetal containers. Again, wine and liquor bottles. 25 cents. Boxed wine will get you 25 cents. Those bag-in-box containers are included. You'll get 25 cents for plastic or multi-layer pouches, but for alcoholic beverages only. Paperback cartons for alcoholic beverages will also be included, and plastic pouches are also eligible. So there's a huge landscape. This is a gold mine for so many. Check this out. Make sure you research it. If you live in California, you could truly be developing a new revenue stream with wine and liquor containers being redeemed for cash. There is a number of these laws that go into effect in 2024, and not all of them are without controversy. There's a huge minimum wage push. It's really in 22 different states that this minimum wage push will be realized. And in, I'll just say, response to that, there are actions being taken on the part of various corporations to avoid having to deal with so many workers getting so much more money. 9.9 million workers will get the bump, and the wages will add up to an additional $6.95 billion, essentially $7 billion in extra pay in 22 states. Add to those states 38 cities and counties increasing their minimum wages, and according to the Department of Labor, 20 states will just maintain the federal minimum wage at $7.25 an hour. But believe it or not, as I'm saying, some corporations and major brands are saying, you know what? I got an idea. We're just going to dump a bunch of workers instead of paying them the new minimum wage, the mandated to pay increase. Yes, here in California, I'll give you one, and it will astound you. They're dumping a lot of workers. I will share that with you and other states and their minimum wage and where that's going as we continue. And that's not all. News of Powerball as well. So you can take your new increased wage and turn it into real money. It's the John Colbelt Show. Mark Thompson sitting in for John on KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John Colbelt on demand from KFI AM 640.
I know there are bowl games, there are mall visits, the entire holiday season continues, but you'll cap it off after the Rose Bowl and Rose Parade. John Colbelt returns Tuesday. So that's the schedule on this show. By the way, we're just in the middle of talking about the new laws. And I mentioned you can, you know, start redeeming empty wine and liquor containers for cash. They can no longer test, employers can't, for cannabis use using a hair and urine test that has been used for years. And people have been fired over that stuff. Now you won't be able to do that in California anymore. And the exceptions, just to follow up, are construction business and also federal employees. They'll still, if you're an applicant for a federal job with background checks, they can still do the hair and urine test. But talking about the increase in minimum wage, this is something that's happening across the board. And one place that is going to lay off more than 1,100 workers ahead of this wage hike is Pizza Hut. Yeah. Ahead of statewide minimum wage increases for fast food workers, hundreds of California Pizza Hut franchises, again, I'm reading from the LA Times, just has this story on just this subject, which we were talking about. They announced cuts in their delivery services, does Pizza Hut and their franchises, and they're laying off more than 1,100 drivers. They run right along Orange to Stanislaus counties. The layoffs expected to go into effect as soon as February, just weeks before this $20 minimum wage for fast food workers is set to go into effect. So this is, again, Assembly Bill 1228. That's the one that applies to California workers employed by any fast food chain. So if you have, and it's got to have 60 locations in the United States, the way it works. So if you have any fast food chain, and there's 60 locations nationwide, you get a bump. The California minimum wage is $15.50 right now. And about 500,000 workers in California will be affected by this bump I'm talking about. Restaurant owners oppose the legislation. They say that this is a huge burden for them to bear, right? It's a lot more expensive. And they're going to have to bear it by raising prices for their customers. The nation's employers, again, reading from the piece, added a solid 199,000 jobs last month. The jobless rate fell. Fresh signs that the economy could achieve an elusive soft landing, they say. It wasn't immediately clear, they go on, as to whether the new wage requirements are a factor in the move. But again, Pizza Hut made the move anyway. Officials with the two Pizza Hut operators, PAC Pizza Affiliates and Southern California Pizza Company, didn't respond to questions about what's going on with these layoffs. But restaurants included L.A., Riverside, San Bernardino, Tulare, Kern County, Sacramento. So it's statewide. Now, it's a reality. The $20 minimum wage for fast food workers, and alongside is the reality that people will lose their job over it. What do you think the minimum wage is in Alaska? Anybody?
$12.
Yeah, that's a really good guess, $12. I would have gone $12 or $13. It's $10.85.
Wow.
Yeah. Arizona, that's where it's $14, $13.85. an hour. Yeah. Just looking, Ohio, $10 is the minimum wage. Rhode Island, $13. You look to some states, you think it's going to, what would you think it would be in South Dakota? In South Dakota,
Eric, what do you think?
South Dakota, probably 850.
I was going to say like 7. Yeah, around there.
Eric's warmer. 1080 is the answer. I'm looking for the single digits, like that $7, like the minimum wage. Again, the federal minimum wage hasn't been raised in years. It's close to $8, a little under $8. Can't find one that's that low anywhere. Florida, 11. Washington, 1574. 13, 18 in Vermont. Mentioned South Dakota, which is almost $11 an hour. Rhode Island is $13 an hour. New York and California, two expensive places to live, they have the highest minimum wage I see here, $15 an hour in New York. In New York City, that would be Long Island and Westchester. The remainder of the state, it's 80 cents an hour less, $14.20. But Nebraska is another place where it's just a little over $10 an hour. So it's Alaska, Nebraska, et cetera, have lower minimum wages. Anyway, the minimum wage in California, again, for those fast food workers, will be going up. Mentioning a new law, and this is a bit controversial. There's a new law that will essentially protect those who are released from prison and have criminal records. It will protect them in the process they have of getting housing and renting a place. So here's the situation. You've just been released from prison, and they'll take you out of it. Let's just say someone has been released from prison, and they're looking for a place to live. And many places have existing laws that actually prevent people from getting housing in certain communities if they have a criminal record. It's called crime-free housing. And many areas and local governments have this ban in place. They enforce crime-free housing policies. So you, even if you want to rent to somebody with a criminal history, you can't do it. And there are examples provided, those with drug-related theft convictions, and they have kids and they're looking for a place to live and they can't get one. Nearly 2,000 communities in the U.S. and elsewhere encourage landlords to evict or exclude tenants who have had some interaction with law enforcement, and it creates a crisis. Now, you may say, yeah, I don't want somebody with a criminal record and that sort of darkness around them to be in my apartment complex. But you also might say, but that's not fair. People deserve a second chance. They've served their time, and they deserve a shot at living in a community that will allow them to live there safely. Well, again, new law. So the new law will essentially offer more opportunities to those who have those felonies and other records that reflect a criminal history. It will allow them access to housing. So, again, this is Assembly Bill 1418. It takes effect next week on Monday. It will ban local governments across California from enforcing those crime-free housing policies, ones that stop landlords from renting to those with prior convictions, but also calling for the eviction of tenants based on arrest or contact with law enforcement. So that will change January 1st. So when we come back, news about orcas and Powerball. We cover it all, don't we, here on the John Cobalt Show. John returns next week. Mark Thompson sitting in with the whole crew on KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of
bit.
Us.
We're
a
figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
juicy.
Podcast would have taken a left turn. Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Michael Rappaport, and my wife, Kibi Rappaport, starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
Mark Thompson here for John Cobalt. John is a super cool guy taking a little vacation. I think he's still in town. I don't know. Usually I'm in touch, but as you know, I've been out of the country on my exotic holiday vacation to Central and South America, where I'm spreading good cheer as a positive ambassador from the U.S. to all the little boys and girls in Central and South America. And by the way, when you come back into this country from anywhere, there is a crush of people, as you international travelers, far more sophisticated than myself, probably already know. But you get into LAX and it's a pretty big crush of people, but I have to tell you about one technology that blew me away. About 2 years ago, I got something called Global Entry. Now, Global Entry, they do a background check on you and they do an interview with you. Right, Deborah, you probably have this.
I do. It's a lifesaver.
Right.
So this is my New Year's resolution. I need to get this.
Yes, you must. And Richie, you should get it also. I recommend it to all Americans. You should do this. Again, it's a little trouble. You got to go through one of these .gov websites, but it's not that bad. If I did it, you can do it. And then you go for the interview, et cetera. They do the background check. So when you come back into the country, and it'll give you TSA pre and all that stuff too, but if you're traveling internationally, it is a sick scene of lines. I mean, it makes the worst day at Disneyland look like a day at the beach. So this is what Global Entry allows you to do. Go past that line to a sign that says Global Entry with an arrow.
It's so cool.
You walk in like the baller you are up to a kiosk, and it says put travel documents here, but this is my point. I didn't even touch a travel document because it just says, and line up your eyes to this green dot or whatever. So as I'm reaching into my pocket of the travel document, my eyes line up to, and I've got a hat on, and I believe I had glasses on, and my picture in my Global Entry doesn't even have glasses or a hat. And the green light pings or something, and it just says, I have no travel document out at all. It just says, go ahead, Mark, continue. And I was done. They saw nothing. They asked me no questions. They asked me nothing about, you know, how long were you there? Why were you there? None of those questions. It just, the technology was insanely sophisticated. It's probably scary on some level. But wow. And you who travel all the time, I always see your Instagram, Deborah. You're in Italy, you're in all these various exotic ports of call. You must have like a lot of experience with this.
Well, I remember one time I had that same experience with you, and I'm just standing there because I thought, okay, it can't be this. And then the guy, he's like, hey, Deborah, right? Deborah,
right,
go
exactly,
on. Go,
right.
You're good to go.
Yeah, there are these two really? Guys there. You know how, like, when you do self-checkout at a grocery store, there's somebody there kind of keeping an eye on. Yeah. You know, so there's one of those at Global Entry. But there, in this case, there are two of them. And then there are two big, you know, cop-looking people. And they call you by name. They go, Mark, go ahead. It's like, wow.
You're like, whoa. You know what else is cool? Clear.
Yes. Clear is good, although I pay for it, which is stupid because I don't travel enough to make it worth it. But I lately, particularly in Washington, D.C., you know, my father's been a little ill, so I've gone back a lot. In Washington, D.C., the Clear line takes like 15 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and the TSA pre-line takes about 15 minutes. So I'm kind of not a fan all the time at Clear, and it's something you pay for. Global Entry, you get it for free. I think it's $60 maybe to register or something. There may be a registration fee.
I think it's $100 for 5 years.
Oh, is it? Okay.
And then you re-up every 5 years.
Oh, cool. Okay, well, that's good info. Thank you. I know Clear, you got to pay, what is that?
I forgot. I want to say $135 or $150
yeah.
bucks.
Yeah, Clear's
like
much
that.
More expensive.
Yeah. Clear's like reminding you that it costs you. I don't know. I really recommend the Global Entry, particularly, again, if you're traveling outside the country. If you're not traveling outside the country, then, you know, I don't really see it as something you it's a little bit of a hassle to do it. But, man, the technology is what I really wanted to relate to you, because it's clearly AI and facial recognition software and all of that retinal scan, all of it rolled into one. And, you know, in those shows, like NCIS or whatever, where they have somebody on surveillance video and you look and it's, and everybody's looking at, oh, that's the guy, but we can't quite tell from this surveillance. And they go, look, can you sector it? Can you zoom it in? And then they zoom in on that image. And then the gray image that's blurry becomes clear. You know, they kind of, Bob, is there anything you can do to make the image clearer? It goes, well, I can, you know, apply sometimes, and they make it clearer. Well, that doesn't exist. It just doesn't. But now it is close to existing. They can take a blurry image, and through AI, they can make it clearer. It will revolutionize law enforcement. It'll revolutionize, I think, a lot of other things. And there's a piece of that technology in that stuff I was just talking about when it comes to Global Entry. They can tell now a lot more about your face and who you are. And when I say they, I'm just saying the technology can, than ever before. And then the other they is, it's just a question of who's using that technology. Orcas are coming up along the Southern California coast. It's a rare sight. Whales native to Mexico and Central America have been spotted dozens of times, from Long Beach to Palos Verdes to Laguna Beach. The last 3 weeks have been rocking for orcas. If anybody has been through these areas or had family in through the holiday, I mean, there's been a lot to see. They're common to California, orcas are, but they're not in these numbers for a long time, say many who are in the business of watching orcas. They think that the whales are eastern tropical Pacific orcas that frequent the warmer waters south of LA. And they're here because of an increased abundance of dolphins, which they, sorry to break this to you, they eat them. Yeah. But this is quite extraordinary. And orcas, they say, are drawing immense attention, and it's sort of helping businesses that are in the orca spotting business. And they say this eclipses the orca sightings that have been noted, eclipse the sightings and the highest sightings in most recent years. The highest sighting number of orca sightings is 73. It was in 2018. They say now, and this is in the Harbor Breeze. What is that? Harbor Breeze is one of these companies that does this stuff. They have a running tally for orca sightings, 61, they say. So, again, orcas are rarer to see. You can find humpback whales, but orcas are rarer. And as I say, 73 in 2018. Bottom line is this. There are more and more. They're feeding up this way, and that's primarily because there's just more food up here. So when we come back, the Powerball jackpot hits a big number, ninth largest ever, and the drawing is tonight.
Good luck, Mark.
Thank you, Deborah. I got a lot riding on it, so I'm really counting on a little bit of a rally. It's the John Cobalt Show. Mark Thompson sitting in on KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
Mark Thompson here for John Cobalt here tomorrow as well, the end of the week. And then John comes back next week. Powerball hitting 700 million. Ninth largest ever. The drawing is today. If you take your money through an annuity paid annually over 29 years, you'll get 700 million. Most winners opt for what? Show me the money. Give it to me up front. If you take the upfront payout, it's 352.3 million. This is the fourth Powerball jackpot to exceed $500 million this calendar year. Last time the jackpot was won was October 11th. It was a California ticket, $1.765 billion. And that winner still hasn't come forward. There have been 33 consecutive drawings without a jackpot winner. And the winless streak is because of the odds. You know, when they say you have a 1 in a million chance of winning, 1 in a million would be a huge improvement on what you have with the lottery. You have a 1 in 292.2 million chance of winning. The Powerball jackpot. A 1 in 292.2 million chance. Now, just speaking of big money, and then we'll talk to Chris, who's coming in for the Conway Show. I saw that Steve Ballmer, he's the sixth richest person in the world. And he is about to collect $1 billion a year doing, penciling it all out for essentially doing nothing. Yeah, I mean, and here's what I mean. As I say, sixth richest person in the world, you know, his money comes from a lot of things, I suppose, related to tech, but he's the former CEO of Microsoft. So when he was CEO of Microsoft, he owned 333 million shares of Microsoft. And the last time he filed one of these ownership disclosure statements, he had the equivalent of a 4% stake in the company, which means that just in the quarterly dividend payouts that spin out 75 cents a share or $3 a share annually, okay, because it's a quarterly spin, he should get just shy of $1 billion this year just for owning the Microsoft stock. It's good work if you can get it. He reported $656 million in income to the IRS in 2018. And he's doing well. If you had Steve Ballmer on your worry list, you can scratch him off. He continues to do very, very well. He's part owner of the Clippers, isn't he? Or he's completely the owner of the Clippers, isn't he? Yeah, think so. I passed Dave Vassay in the hallway. David Vassay, Dodgers talk, you know. I mentioned this in relation to the Clippers and sports. I was just talking about the fact that these new deals for these athletes who are coming to the Dodgers particularly are so massive, and they defer a lot of that income. And the Dodgers are really well positioned for the future. And that was a deal that was matched by the Yankees. This is for two massively talented players who are coming to the Dodgers now, right? And I mean, for hundreds of millions of dollars, this deal to defer all that income, matched by the Yankees, matched by the Giants, Dodgers take it. Really something. Anyway, in the world of big money, athletics and athletes still seem to be a pretty strong plays. Ballmer among them. Ballmer's in the ownership business, which is a great business to be in, but you really need a lot of scratch to be handling the ownership world. So for Tim Conway Jr., Chris Merrill sits in. What's up with you, Chris?
Well, I was just wondering if Steve Ballmer is buying Powerball tickets. You think so?
I think he's out of that Powerball buying business. Yeah.
If I had that much money, I would buy all the Powerball tickets.
Did you ever see, I think it's only in the last few months, there's a documentary about the, they made the movie about those who kind of gamed the lottery system, right?
Yeah.
It was with Bryan Cranston, was one of the, it was the lead, I think.
Yeah, fascinating. And it was based on a true story, if I recall correctly. That was when they decided, and I've done the math before, too. What'd you say the odds were? 1 in 290 some odd million?
Yeah, right.
But your one-time payout is 300 and some odd million. So if you buy all the tickets and you win, right, there's two problems with it. One is the logistics, and that's what Cranston's, the movie with Cranston, they were all working on, and they weren't able to buy all the tickets, but fortunately, the ones that they bought won, right? Is that the one I'm thinking of?
Yeah, you're kind of remembering it right, but let me just tweak it one little
bit.
Is that what they realized was that they didn't have to win the big jackpot. They could just win the lesser jackpots. And so that's the way they manipulated their buy. So they could make a bunch of money not winning the big one. Yeah.
So there was a group that did this one time, and they were, and I think it was the New York State Lottery then, whatever it was, and they were trying to buy it, but they didn't get them all. But they got, I don't know, 2/3 of them, and they ended up winning it. But the real hang-up, because I proposed this one time when I was growing up. I grew up in a small town, and everybody knew everybody. One of my friends, her dad was the president of the bank. And I said to him, I said, Mr. Van Buren, which sounds like such a banker name, doesn't it? I said, Mr. Van Buren, I said, can you just loan me $90 million? And I'm going to go buy the tickets by, it's a 1 in 90 million chance or whatever.
You
got
to ask. You got to ask.
Right. And he says, and he just kind of laughed, and he says, no. And I said, this is a lock. This is a sure thing. And, he pointed out the logistics thing, and I said, okay, but if I can get that taken care of, right? And he said, all right, what if another ticket hits it and you split it? That's where you run into the issues.
Wow.
Right?
I love it.
So let's say you hit the $700 million jackpot, but four other tickets hit it too. Now you're in the hole a couple hundred mil, and that's going to hurt.
Wow. I love when plans skip to we're going to win, but right. You're going to win? Really? I think there's a bigger problem than that. I think you're not going to win. How's that? Anyway,
that's a major issue.
But I love that you're a big picture guy. You're just the guy for the Conway show.
You gotta think
through it. All right. Yeah. So Merrill is next for Tim Conway Jr. I will retire to my world on the Mark Thompson Show on YouTube. Please subscribe. Even if you never listen, apparently just the number of subscribers is important. So we'll hang out on YouTube, and I'll see you again tomorrow night. Chris, love you,
thanks,
and happy holidays, pal.
Thanks, pal.
Thanks, everybody in John Colbelt land. Been a good show. Look forward to tomorrow. KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, you've been listening to the John Colbelt Show podcast. You can always hear the show live on KFI AM 640 from 1 to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And, of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.